Morning. So, as you can see, I'm doing double duty this morning a little bit, helping out with worship, but then also bringing the message. And that is because we are still in this transition of learning how to do live stream and making sure that we're doing that well. So, welcome to those of you who are also with us virtually. Welcome to those of you who are here. I want to make an announcement about that because one of the things that I think people are maybe staying home trying to make sure that there's room for everybody, we're not having a problem with that yet. So if you'd like to be here, go ahead and sign up for wherever you want to be. And we'd love to have you here worshiping with us. But we also are glad that we have the ability to reach out beyond just this place. Now, part of the reason that I am up here for as much as I am is because BJ is actually back and he continues to train and to, just get people ready so that he can kind of get back up here and be leading worship again. But that, again, is just an announcement and an invitation. I think I want to get out to all of you that we need people. We need people for the worship teams. We need people for the tech. We need people for our children's ministries and our youth on Wednesdays. We need you guys. We need to all be stepping up for this. And so I just want to invite you to send us an email if you feel like you have either gifts or abilities or an interest in something. You know, if you have an interest, don't feel like you have to be all trained up. We'll train you up. But if you have an interest in something, some area of ministry, let us know. Call us at the office, or you can just get on the website at cccov.org, and you'll find a landing page, and it has a bunch of buttons right there, and one of them says opportunities. You can just send that in, fill out that form, and we'll get back in touch with you. But you guys, this is an exciting season. Like I said, in spite of all that we're kind of the challenges that are in front of us, it's great to see this church just kind of come together and figure out how do we continue to do ministry in the midst of what we see. Cheryl, where is she? She's around here. She was around here. Anyway, Cheryl, thank you for bringing the message last week. I just appreciate the word that you shared last week. We are in a series that is about how do we equip ourselves, how do we put those practices into our lives that really help us to align better with God so that we can become more like Jesus. Now, last week, Cheryl talked about how sometimes we have to do that hard work of that excavation, of clearing away the debris so that we can hear God. Now, that is essentially, that's what discipleship is. That's what all discipleship is, where we're clearing away the debris of habits and bad practices out of the way so that we can hear God, that we can follow God and see what he's saying. Now, a couple of weeks ago, what we found was that when we try to, we were looking at another practice. We said, you know, sometimes we look at God, we see how loving he is, and we try and imitate him, and suddenly we find that we fall so far short of that that all we can really do is just confess, you know what, I'm not able to do that. And that's when we find how desperately we need Jesus. Well, another thing that happens is when we're trying to clear away this clutter that Cheryl was talking about last week, we find that we're not always able to do that as well as we would like either. In fact, sometimes we don't know what's the difference between clutter, what we should throw away, what we should keep. We don't know. We don't know even sometimes if we can identify the clutter, we're not sure how to get rid of it. We don't know what to replace it with. And so there are times that we're trying to do this work and we come to much the same type of a place of confession, where we go to God and we say, God, I'm trying to clear away this clutter, but I'm not able to. In fact, sometimes, have you ever had that where you take, it's almost like you take this habit or this practice, this bad thinking in your life, and you push it away as far as you can. But as soon as you take your eye off of it, it's almost like it's a magnet. It just comes clamp right back to you. Like, well, I had to pay attention over here. I can't pay attention. I can't do this. And we come to that place of just recognition that we can't do this. And that is when we come into another place of confession, another place of recognizing that we have a need not just for a Savior, but literally for God to live inside us, give us the strength, the wisdom, the insight, the power to do what we have to do, what he's calling us to do. And so that's when we come into a realization that we need what we're going to be talking about, the person we're going to be talking about today, and that's the Holy Spirit. We come to find out that we need God's Spirit to live inside of us and to be living through us if anything good is going to happen. Now, when I was younger, I used to think of the Holy Spirit kind of like a teacher in school. You know, a teacher comes alongside, teaches you some good things, gets your attention in the right places, and occasionally, like we seem to think God does as well, gives you a pop quiz. See how much you've learned, right? You guys have come across those pop quizzes God will throw at you. And we think, and then, but the teacher usually will just kind of leave you to your own devices. We'll let you figure it out on your own. We'll let you make your own mistakes and find your own path in life. The teacher's there for a moment, but then at times they're gone. Well, later I got the idea, you know what? He's a little bit more present than that, a little bit more active, does a little bit more. I got the idea he's more like, you know, I've been playing music for a long time, and he's kind of like some of the great musicians that I've gotten to play with over the years. You know, there's some musicians, because of their skill, because of their presence and their ability, they make you sound really good, you know? I mean, when I was starting out, I was terrible. And, you know, I've gotten a little further, but the people surrounding me, I found it's really important to surround yourself with good musicians because they make you sound good. I got the impression that maybe the Holy Spirit's like that. We constantly sound really bad, but he just knows how to play around so that we look and we sound okay, you know? He makes us look better than we really are. But after years and actually decades of living life, what I've really found out is that the Holy Spirit is more like the very breath that keeps us alive. It's not just somebody that comes in for a time and teaches us a few things and then leaves. He's not just like somebody that makes us sound better. He is the one who is everything. He gives us life at all. I can't do anything without him, anything of significance. He is my wisdom. He is my discernment. He is my strength. He is my ability. He is my vision. He is everything. He is behind anything that has any lasting meaning. Now, I may be able to get by in this world, right? I may be able to do okay according to the standards of this world, according to their standards and for the few short years that I live in it. But I'm never going to do anything of significance eternally unless the Holy Spirit is involved. And not just involved, in charge, unless he is the one leading my life. It won't happen without the Holy Spirit. In high school, I was first introduced to the person of the Holy Spirit. And the reason I say that is because I had grown up in church. I had grown up in church where, you know, I knew who God was. I knew about God the Father. I knew about, you know, and how he ruled from heaven. I knew about Jesus the Son and how he had come and he had died for me, and I needed to accept Jesus in my heart, and I needed by faith, you know, accept the gift that God had offered in that life. And I knew a little bit about the Holy Spirit. He was kind of that, I don't know, that kind of one that gives you the tinglies every once in a while when he shows up. He's the one that, you know, gives you a good thought every once in a while. But what I found was I didn't know him. I knew about him, but I didn't know him. Now, isn't it funny, you know, that we know God the Father, we know God the Son, but we don't really think about knowing the Holy Spirit as a friend. But the truth is that the Holy Spirit is not just like a force in the universe that we tap into. He's not someone that we just tap into a while so that we can have the strength that we need for that moment. He is a person. First thing that we find about the Holy Spirit is that he is a person. He is the third person that makes up that community of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that have been from eternity past to eternity future, that make up the God that we know, the triune God that we know. We know that we have to have a relationship with God the Father. We see that. The Father and the Child, we get that. We know that we have a relationship with Jesus as our friend or as our Lord. We understand that. Is it really that surprising that we also have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. This third person, the Spirit, is someone that we have this relationship where he speaks and we hear him, where we talk to him and he listens, where he acts or he guides or nudges. Or at times that we can sense his presence or sense his concern. You know, the Bible says that we can grieve the Holy Spirit with our choices. We can squelch his presence and not listen to him. You know, we do that with each other all the time, right? It's like, I don't want to hear that, so I'm not going to listen. We do that with him as well. He can also be followed and enjoyed, obeyed, because he is a person. But what that means is that we don't know him really if we just see him as a force in the universe that we tap into. We don't really know him if we just see him as like a tool in the shed that we take down when we really need him and use it for that moment, because he is a person. He's a person who lives in us, who cares for us, who walks with us in all of our life. And this also means, because he's a person, that when he comes with his own agenda sometimes, right? Like most of the time. You find out he's not always that interested in my great plans, right? I mean, if any of you guys are parents, you understand this very well. Your kids come up, you know what? I got a great plan. We were just out visiting my daughter, and they just adopted Demetrius, and Demetrius, he turned to his mom one time, and he said, "Mom, don't say no." Now, when that's the beginning of the conversation, you know you're going to have to say, you know, I can't promise you anything here, but let's see where this goes, right? Now, how many times do we go to God and we say that? We go to his Spirit, we say, okay, so don't say no about this plan. Just back me up, okay? But actually, the Holy Spirit, he comes with his own plans, his own wisdom, his own purposes, the purposes of God. So part of getting to know him is learning how to listen to him, learning how to follow, learning how to really discern where he is leading. You know, we also find in the Bible that not only is he a person, but he's God, and that makes sense, that he's one of the three persons, but he is God. He is one with the Father. He's one with the Son, Jesus Christ. He is God himself. And so, you know, there are even times in the Bible that it refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Jesus when he speaks, or the Spirit of the Father when he speaks. Sometimes it's just the Spirit or the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God. But those three, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are so in line with each other. They're one with each other. We can't even understand that type of relationship. Jesus, when he was on earth, he said, you know, if you see me, you see the Father. I don't do anything that I don't see the Father doing first. I don't say anything that I don't hear the Father saying first. And he said, and when the Spirit comes, he's going to remind you of me. He's going to remind you of what I said. He's going to remind you of the things that I did. He's going to lead you into greater works, but the works that continue this ministry that I've done. So the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, man, they are on the same page. We can't do with them what some of us did with our parents, where, you know, mom says no, so you go to dad, right? You ask him, okay, let's give that. No, when he speaks, you hear all of them. When we see one, we see all of them. When we experience one, we experience all of them. So the Holy Spirit has been given to us so that we might not just experience one member of the Trinity, but that we might experience the fullness of God. So in him, we also see that the Spirit, he shares with us that same relentless love that has pursued us, that God says he pursues us with. He shares with us that same persistence in his patience towards us. He shares with us the same generosity of grace and kindness that he just pours out overabundantly into our life. That comes from our relationship with the Spirit as well. He also brings in that same authority that God himself seated on the throne in heaven and Jesus seated at his right hand, same authority that they have, he brings to bear in our lives. He speaks in us and guides us with that same authority and that same power. So when he takes up that residence in us, there are times that he speaks through us in order to speak with that authority into this world in that same way. Some would call that prophecy. Some would call that just speaking. I don't know. I mean, sometimes you just hear somebody say something that's like, man, sounded a lot like God. Someone's living and you go, that looks a lot like I would imagine Jesus would have looked. It's the Holy Spirit living in us and through us because he is God. So if you take just those two things, he's a person, he is God, it's like, well, that's who I need then. I have trouble clearing this clutter away. That's the one I need, right? So how do I get that in me, right? How do I cooperate with the Spirit so that he might live in me and through me? How does that happen? Well, you know, as we read about the Holy Spirit in the Bible, as we get to know him in our lives, we find that he has a very unique place and purpose within that Trinity. The Father rules in heaven. We see that. The Son has come and taken on flesh on earth, and he brings salvation. When we find the Holy Spirit, what we find is what he is doing. We often find it's interesting because he's hovering. Go hovering. Yeah, you'll recognize the Spirit when you learn to recognize where he's hovering. Where'd you get it? Well, I want you to look at Genesis 1. First two verses in the Bible, Genesis 1, 1 and 2. First time we're introduced to the Holy Spirit. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was unformed and barren, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering. Some translations say moving, but the word is hovering. Hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And it goes on with the creation. Now, that word to hover is like what a mother does with her chicks. A mother bird does with her chicks. She broods over them. She hovers over them, sometimes literally flying. Sometimes it's just kind of nudging them in and protecting them and caring for them and protecting them and nurturing them. At creation, the Spirit of God was hovering over this unformed substance of creation. There's nothing made yet, but he's hovering over it, right? So if you recognize where the Spirit's hovering, you know where God's about to do something. And as God always does, then he speaks his word, and the Spirit becomes, if you know the picture, so it says Jesus is the word, the Father is the one who comes with the will and speaks. He speaks the word, and the word is empowered through what? The breath, like it is with us, of the Holy Spirit. And so he brings into reality the intentions and purposes of God and empowers them into being the things that God speaks through his word. If you look throughout the Bible, you find that if you look for the ministry of the Word and you look for the ministry of the Spirit, the two are almost lining up one for one. The Word does this, the Spirit does this. Why? Because he hovers and then he brings it to bear in our lives. We find the same thing when Jesus is baptized in Mark 1, 9 through 11, right? Listen to this. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan. And immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending on him, hovering. Descending on him. And that's when the voice comes out of heaven and says, you are my son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. And it's from that point, you look at that point, and that is the starting point of the ministry of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. Prior to that, people would have said, yeah, he's an amazing guy. He's a really interesting, kind of different type of person. There's something new, different going on. But he was unrecognized. He was kind of uncommissioned almost. He wasn't fired up because it was at this moment, because this is how God works. He speaks his word, but only the Holy Spirit hovers. He speaks his word, and that word is empowered and indwelt through the breathing, the breath of the Holy Spirit. And then you see Jesus launch into this powerful ministry in the Holy Spirit. We say the same thing in the birth of the church in Acts 2, right? Where the Holy Spirit comes, and then they're launched out in power. We see the same thing. Even at the resurrection of Jesus. You know, the Holy Spirit, what's he doing for 3 days? Well, Jesus is dead in the tomb. Well, he's not with Jesus necessarily. I mean, he kind of is, but I mean, he's hovering. He's kind of, I'm not going to get into the details of that. Don't quote me on that one, because God never divides and all. Okay, but he's hovering. You want the picture? He's hovering. And then Romans 1:4, listen to what it says, happened at the resurrection, that Jesus was declared, there's the speech, the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness. According to the Holy Spirit. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that he was raised up from the dead by the word of God that was spoken. God has spoken that Jesus would rise from the dead. The Holy Spirit brought that to bear. So again and again, we see the Spirit hovering and empowering and bringing into reality the word of God that he speaks through his promises, through his word to us. God's word of resurrection, God's word, and this is for us, God's word of transformation, right? He said he wants us to be like Jesus, and we're trying to clear away this clutter, and we're going, how am I supposed to do that? Well, in those times, he's hovering. It's just waiting for that moment. Because the most amazing example of the hovering and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, really, is found in us. I mean, it's not amazing. It is amazing that God raised Jesus from the dead, but it's not, you know, I mean, he was God. He was God's son. So yeah, I mean, how hard is that? But really try and resurrect me. Yeah, try and make me a better person. Yeah, there's a challenge, right? Try and take this kind of brokenness, as separated from God, and take that kind of death and make life out of it. But the Bible tells us that the Spirit hovers over each one of us. He is constantly pursuing. It says in John that he is constantly convicting the world concerning sin and concerning righteousness and concerning judgment. And not just sitting there saying, you're such bad people. It's saying, don't you see what's going on? He's hovering, he's preparing us. So that moment that God's promised us salvation, that moment that the gospel is presented to us, that we might be ready. We might hear and we might respond in faith. That word might become real in us. That the word might be spoken in and be brought to bear and be made a reality in our lives. And then he continues to do that with God's promises as he transforms us. Listen to 2 Corinthians 3:18. It puts it this way, but we who have had the veil removed that kept us from seeing clearly are seeing like it was in a mirror the glory of the Lord and ourselves being transformed into that same image from one glory into a glory from the Lord by the Spirit. We're seeing the same work that had like a recreation happen within us, transformed into the glory of Jesus to share with the Father, with the Son, with the Spirit, to share in his relentless compassion, to share in that gracious generosity, to share in that living out that unending patience, that kindness, that faithfulness that he has shown to us. As we are seeing that transformed as the Holy Spirit brings to bear the Word of God and makes it a reality in our lives. So what is the practice that we want to put into our lives that will help us to align with what the Spirit is doing? Well, very simply, it's this. Learn how to recognize where the Spirit's hovering. I want you to think right now, where's the Spirit hovering in your life? Where is he hovering in your life? Now, for some of you, it may be, you know, like in high school, where it was like, wow, he's hovering over this place. I don't even know that I know the Spirit yet. And so he's just kind of generally hovering over this. And in that place, it's recognized that he's hovering. Because wherever he's hovering, he also has a word that he wants to bring to bear and to make it a reality in your life. He wants us to know him as a person, as a friend, as the one who indwells us, as the one who gives us life. He wants us to know that. But some of us might look and we might see that's where he's hovering. Some of us might look and say, he's hovering over this one habit I have that I can't clear it. It's like that magnet again. It just keeps coming back. And in that time, we need to know, okay, so what do we do when we see him hover? Well, learn to recognize where he's hovering, knowing that he is intending to bring a word to bring transformation, to bring salvation, to bring freedom to you in that place. Now, sometimes we want him to be hovering somewhere, right? But he's not. He's over here. You say, no, look over here. We're going, yeah, but this is more important to me. Again, his agenda, right? It's not about what we think. It's not about what we want. It's he is leading us in a good way, in a good path. So go to where he's hovering. Focus on those things. So learn how to do this. Learn how to look for his hovering and to focus with him there, right? And then learn how to listen for his voice as he wants to bring a word that speaks to that place, that thing, that change that he wants to work in you, that whether that's a fundamental change or just bringing you into a relationship with Jesus, or whether that's changing, tweaking a thing that's in your life that's still broken, or whether that's uprooting a weed that's just tearing you up. Learn how to listen for that word that comes. Now, it may come through his word, through the Bible, through you reading. It may come through a friend that in Christ speaks God's word into your life, and you just go, that's it. That's the word that the Spirit has for me. That is the word of God that I'm taking. Learn how to listen for that word, and when it comes, receive it. So learn how to lean into, learn how to look for the hovering, learn how to listen for the word, and then learn how to lean into that word, that work that he is doing in you. Embrace it. Embrace it by faith as if it's already done. If God's at work on it, it's good, right? Jesus said he has saved us. We're all looking at our lives saying, yeah, but I'm still a mess. He says, no, it's done. If he says he's going to fix something because he's been hovering and he brings his word to bear, and you go, yeah, but I can't see it. It's still broken. It's as good as done. So start walking in the reality of what he has said to you. Now, you guys, be careful. Don't make stuff up. Don't try and make the Holy Spirit say what you want him to. But if you will learn how to look for him and how to listen to him, you will find that he will give you these places to lean into, and you will begin to see transformation in your life. Because a lot of times we think we have to do the work to get good with God. We are saved, and then we have more work to do because we have such clutter and we can't hear him. But the fact is that he always has said, no, his work is beyond us. Come to that point of confession and start looking for the Spirit. Because he is the one who will do the work. He is the one who has always done the work. Amen? The Holy Spirit. We need to know him. We need him. And that is, God says, you know, I've given you two gifts. Jesus, my son. Now I've given you the Holy Spirit as a gift as well, that he might live in us, that we might reflect Jesus. Amen?